Welcome to the scorching arena of valor and the crucible of courage. This is the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Here in the inferno of life's greatest challenges, heroes are shaped and legends are born. Every episode is a torchlight of wisdom, casting a glow on the paths walked by those who've braved the flames and emerged stronger. In this furnace of fortitude, we'll explore tales of resilience, bravery, and the unyielding human spirit. Each guest brings their own spark of insight, lighting up the darkness and guiding us through the smoke of adversity. With Fireman Rob at the helm, prepared to delve into conversations that smolder with significance and stories that kindle the soul. It's not just a podcast, it's a beacon for all who seek to rise from the ashes and glow with purpose. So stoke the fires of your curiosity and ready your heart for tales of triumph and transformation. The flames are roaring. The stage is ablaze. Welcome to the Forged in the Fires podcast. Let the journey begin.
All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, you know, he and I were talking before, and his life experience, his ability to transition from where he was to where he is now, he's like an Avenger. So let's bring him on. He is the man, the myth, the legend, Steve Hawkman. How are you doing today, sir?
Thanks for having me, Rob. I've never had an intro like that. That was the first.
Well, we always like to have first on this show.
You know, off to a great start.
I love it. Well, you know, I mean, you have such an iconic story and such an amazing will to be able to continually transform yourself. I want to go back to when you played Division I football. I want to go all the way back to what you played at the University of Miami. Take me back to the mindset of Steve at that time and where you thought you were going to go.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, in growing up, actually, when I was a little kid, I had Tourette's, believe it or not. And so because of that, my learning development and my social skills were just so behind that, you know, even though I knew I was an athlete, I was always picked last. Well, I actually wasn't even picked. I was just sort of left over and I'd go to whatever team did, you know, had the next pick. And so because of just everything, I was so angry. I had so much rage. And a guy told me that if you go out for football, you're allowed to hit people as hard as you can. You could even try to hurt them and you won't get in trouble. And you won't get in trouble. Because I was always getting suspended, fighting and stuff like that. And so I honestly, my 10th grade was my first year playing football. I've never played. I didn't know anything about the game. I didn't even watch it. And I literally just came on the field to murder people. And I didn't care if it was a game. I didn't care if it was a practice. I literally only came out there to hit people. And so, you know, I was behind because 10th grade was my first year. A lot of people have been playing their whole life. Yeah. And I was living in a car off and on. So in high school, my dad was like a con artist. And so we kept getting kicked out of where we lived. And I was like, man, getting a scholarship would be a great way to get out of this car. And I could just continue to just hit people and get, that's kind of my therapy. And so I just decided I was going to get a scholarship decided I'd get a scholarship to the top five schools in the nation. I just decided to do that. And really I just, you know, it wasn't just a decision, but I actually, you know, really put the work in. In fact, I got pads. I kind of stole them from the equipment room. And I found some college athletes that were playing football. And in the summers, I would just say, hey, let's just hit, let's train.
Yeah.
And so by the time I was a senior, I was all American and I got many scholarship offers, but I signed with University of Miami, who was the national champion. So I accomplished my goal. But when I got to Miami, my mindset was so, my personal development was so far behind that being off on my own and just kind of trying to do my thing, there was a lot of ups and downs there, you know? Yeah. I ended up actually, so my dad came back in the picture. He said he was going to go to prison for check fraud and he was going to kill himself. He wasn't going to go to prison. And it was just like this, like 20 day countdown. And, you know, I was just a kid. I didn't have the mindset I do now. And so I had just blown out my ACL, which is no big deal. A lot of people do that, you know, and I had reconstructive surgery. I was doing midterms, which I wasn't very good at school. And, you know, I had this stress of trying to get all this, like, you know, $20,000 for my dad, which as an 18-year-old kid was pretty impossible.
Yeah.
And so I ended up taking these caffeine pills to stay up for studying. And I had this like massive anxiety attack. I didn't even know what it was. I thought I was having a heart attack. And the thing is that something like broke in my brain, and that anxiety attack lasted for 7 years.
So my gosh.
Like I was one way one day. And then for the next 7 years, I was a totally different way, where like 20, 30 times a day, I would have these anxiety attacks just for no reason. Yeah. And I ended up dropping out of school, my senior year. I just couldn't breathe ever. I didn't have the mindset and the knowledge, and the skills to handle it and to make it, you know, basically overcome it. And so, that was it. My mindset in college was the same. I definitely thought I was going to play in the NFL, even though I was never really passionate about football. It just seemed like the next logical step. But I ended up dropping out.
How did you, because that's a hard thing to overcome, is that anxiety, because you're never really secure with what you're going to do. When you were in that mindset, and I'm betting there's a ton of athletes that are like, yeah, I get that. When you were in that mindset, what were you looking forward to the next day? What did that feel like? Because I think that's something that a lot of people are like, well, I'm alone in this feeling. What did it feel like to look at the next day?
I mean, honestly, you know, one thing that I was blessed with is a very positive, optimistic attitude. And I felt like, you know, after the first week and it didn't go away, then the first month and the first year, you know, there was a part of my mind that thought like, oh my God, my entire life is going to be like this. And I would see just regular people maybe at a restaurant enjoying themselves, eating dinner or something. And I was so jealous because my entire day was just a torture session all day. And, you know, there was one moment where I was like, man, should I just kill myself or something? And luckily I just have this mindset that I always believe that everything will always get better. Like somehow I just was born that way. And really what it was is once I dropped out and eventually I found my purpose, which is really just to give the most value to the most people in the most ways. And for me, it was through fitness and mindset. And I think a lot of anxiety, part of it is just not having a definite purpose to your life. And part of that anxiety is just not knowing what you're supposed to do. Like you're fighting your internal conscience all the time because you don't know what your real purpose for being on this earth is. So that was a big part of making it dissipate and eventually overcoming it. And the other part was fitness, you know, just really hard workouts and nutrition. You know, I would get like a momentary relief from the anxiety when I was working out with what worked for me. Does that make sense?
Oh, it totally makes sense. Now, but you weren't always, you had a stretch there where you didn't have the fitness, you didn't have that mindset after you had been at this high level of college sports that, you know, even somebody like yourself who now is uber successful, who was uber successful before, you know, you have that path. And I think it's so awesome to have somebody be able to relate to you and go, yeah, this guy wasn't just always, he was a D1 athlete. He always had this fitness. He always had this mindset. You too had to find it personally to get to where you are. Tell me more about that journey, because that's so powerful to your clients, I'm imagining.
Yeah, you know, and looking back, everything happens for a reason. It really put me in a position to help a lot more people, because you have to overcome things to help other people overcome things. It can't be theory. It has to be something that you really went through and you could walk someone step by step. But when I dropped out of college, I actually found myself, I was homeless again. Like I really had nowhere to go. And I actually linked back up with my dad, and I remember the moment where everything kind of changed. So I was sleeping on a floor in this, it's like a real ghetto apartment in this like shitty city called Fontana. And it wasn't even his apartment. He was staying on the couch of someone that owned, and I'm talking, when I say apartment, it was like it was like 300 like square foot studio. And so he was asleep with a cigarette in his hand, and he was snoring. And I was on the floor, and I was looking up at this ash that was just about to fall on my head because, you know, I'm on the floor, and I heard some gunshots outside, and I felt something on my chest, and it was a cockroach. And and that was the moment where it just hit me that, like, this isn't my purpose. This isn't what I'm supposed to be on this earth for.
Right.
And I actually got up that next morning. I called my grandma. I didn't know her that well, but she let me stay with her for a little bit, and I really just committed myself. You know, I got self-help books. I started trying to do a business, even though like my first business wasn't a business, didn't even work, but I just dedicated myself to working, personal development, and being healthy and fit. And then, you know, really the biggest change that put me in a position to meet my first mentor. So I was doing personal training, and, you know, it grew really fast, this personal training thing, because I was just so grateful. I couldn't believe people were paying me money for this.
That's just awesome.
Was the craziest thing. Like, I'm like, wow, I could actually support myself and do something so fun. And there was this ex-Vietnam vet. I didn't know, but he was like a really big business person. And he wanted me to help him lose 50 pounds, but he said he had this shoulder surgery. Yeah. And so I said, I want to talk to your doctor and give you the best, you know, the best program. And he's like, oh, my doctor's an hour away. I'm like, that's cool. I'll drive out and see him. And he's like, I haven't even hired you yet. I'm like, well, this is just how I do things. And I guess as a 20-year-old, and he was about 50, I didn't understand this at the time, but he's like, who is this kid?
Yeah.
And because I had that attitude, that service attitude, he just really took me under his wing. And he gave me books like Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And he just really, you know, within like a couple months, I was making six figures. Within about a year and a half after that, I had my first seven-figure personal training studio. And it was all just because I was so grateful and so hungry to have this opportunity. And I just gave everything I had, and I got a great mentor.
That's such a, how powerful is it to have a great mentor? Because I think that's, a lot of people are looking at success stories and they go, oh man, they just grinded. And like what you're saying is you were grateful for that help, for that assistance, and for the opportunity. How much does it mean to have a mentor to be able to be part of that journey?
Yeah. I mean, you know, first of all, just having someone that believed in me meant so much to me. Like having someone genuinely believe in me that I respected gave me more confidence within myself. The fact that this guy sees something special in me and he's so successful, it just made me feel more confident. And then having someone that you could go to and talk to and ask them questions about how they would handle this situation, how would you set up these goals? How would you, you know, structure this business? It's immeasurable. It's really just you can't put a value on it. And the thing is that so many people have figured out how to be successful in many areas. So to try to figure it all out from scratch yourself, it doesn't make sense. but the thing is like, you know, they say luck is opportunity plus preparedness.
Yeah.
So I got really lucky to get this mentor. But the truth is that I was lucky because I was at the right place at the right time, but I was prepared because I really dedicated myself, you know, to giving 100%. The level of effort I was giving was just different. And I was just prepared to do anything to give the most value to the people that I was helping. And it put me in a position to get a great mentor like I did.
And that preparedness was your mindset, because you had fostered that idea of I'm going to be successful. I do not want to have cockroaches running over my body.
True story right there. I think honestly, being ungrateful is one of the biggest obstacles I think that people face, and they don't even realize it. So because I came from just such shit, I was so grateful. Like I couldn't believe, and by the way, you got to understand, growing up with Tourette's, being in special ed classes, even though I knew I wasn't like, I knew I didn't belong there. I never felt like supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But when I first started training people, not only do I have a place to stay and food to eat, but I had these really successful people paying me money for my knowledge and for my expertise. You know, I had doctors, lawyers, judges, you know, real estate millionaires. And I was so great. I couldn't believe it. Like finally, I people saw value in me, you know, in a way that's never happened. And because I was so grateful, so appreciative, I just kept trying. I kept putting in that effort. And I see a lot of people, what happens is they're where they are. They want to be ahead of where they are. And so they get very ungrateful, meaning like, I'll be happy when I get to this place from this place.
Yeah. Yeah. That totally makes sense.
And I feel like the universe or God or whatever the heck it is, it does, you know, whatever it is like a parent. And so if you have a kid and they have toys that work and function and they're like, I don't like my toys. I'm not going to be happy till you get me new toys. Can you get me new toys? You would tell your kid, no, you need to learn to appreciate what you have.
Right.
And if a kid was like, you know, Dad, I love these toys that I have. They're so awesome. And I'm so appreciative. But if I had some new toys, that would be cool too, but I don't need them. But if I had them, that'd be great.
Right.
You'd be likely to give the to take that kid to Target or wherever you go and get some new toys. And I feel like that's how life is.
Yeah.
I was just so appreciative that for every moment and every opportunity that I never had a chance to be ungrateful.
Right.
And I think that's what accelerated my success so much. And I think that's what slows down a lot of other people.
Now, how do you want to become successful? Because I think a lot of people, you know, they become successful and then their drive, their push, like you had in the beginning, dwindles because they're like, oh, I'm successful. I don't need to drive the hour to talk to the doctor. I don't need to do this extra stuff. How do you keep that drive to be able to, you know, to maximize your potential still and not just be complacent?
Yeah, there's a lot of angles. There's a lot of angles to the answer to that question. I mean, one of the first answer is you just really have to have your purpose of life. Like you have to really know what your purpose is. And so my purpose saved me. The purpose of giving the most value to the most people in the most ways. And the reason why it saved me is because I take it so serious, I have to be the best version of myself in all those ways in order to be able to give that value, because you can't give what you don't have. So my purpose of a lot of people think living a life of service means, you know, you just kind of like don't take care of yourself. You're just all about helping others. But the thing is, you cannot give what you do not have. So I must come as the best version of me to give that value, which is my purpose. So that's one. It's just that the drive is eternal because that is my purpose. I can never stop. And then, you know, of course, genetically, I've been driven, you know, always, even when I had like everything stacked against me, I was like, I'm getting a scholarship to the number one school, even though I've never done this ever. I've never played football and I'm getting picked last on all the teams. And I would just 100% confident. So that part's just God given. But I think, you know, the other part is just, I think if you have a little bit of success, then you start believing you could have more.
Yeah.
And so if you have that purpose solidified and you have a little bit of success, it just kind of like compounds on itself. But it's really important to just, you know, if you were to ask 100 people, go on a street right now and just ask 100 people, what's your purpose? What's your mission? Why are you here?
Nope.
Probably 99 out of 100 people wouldn't know. So if you don't know why you're here, how are you supposed to know what to do?
Yeah.
You know, of course you're not going to be motivated. Of course you're going to settle in because most people just go through life without a real purpose.
How do you settle with how do you formulate a purpose? Because a lot of people will have like my purpose for the day because they can't think past today. How do you help those people to think, hey, find your purpose today and then find that purpose that's going to keep you pushing every single day? Because as a personal trainer, I'm sure that's one of the hardest things to do is like, yeah, I only lost a pound today. Oh, well, yeah, you need to keep working.
Yeah, that's a great question, honestly, Rob. So really what I do is with my clients and with myself, I never focus on weight or fitness goals. I know that sounds weird and it's the opposite of what most people do. What I focus on is who. I focus on the who. So like what I do is I focus on who do you want to be? because you're going to look like who you are. Yeah. So you first define the who, you work on the who, and then you look like the what. And so
I like that.
And you know, the thing is too, is like losing weight is not enough to really change, because we really lie to ourselves and negotiate with our, I mean, how many times have people said, I'm going to eat healthy and then they don't eat healthy, or I'm going to get up and work out.
That's me right there.
Work out. Right. So, yeah. And if we had a friend that lied to us as much as we lied to ourselves, that'd be a horrible friend. We wouldn't even want to talk. We'd be like, that person's a loser. I would never trust that person.
Oh my God.
So a lot of people, they don't even have the confidence to do this because they lie to themselves so much. They don't believe the words that they're saying or the thoughts that they're thinking. And so what I do, Rob, is I always link what I'm doing to a higher purpose, bigger than myself. And like an example, the easiest example for me is a parent. So parents, they'll always say, if you ask them what's the most important thing to you, they'll say their kids. Oh, the kids, they're my life. They're the most important thing. And you know, the thing is like, well, for one, the most basic thing you could give your kids is the gift of health, strength, and confidence. Right. And if you can't give them what you don't have. So if you don't have that yourself, you're actually, once you make the connection that you're actually hurting your kids by not helping yourself in this area,
right,
and you really see that, you can't unsee that. So then therefore you have to learn how to eat healthy. You have to learn how to, you have to put the effort in and work out if you really mean that you're that parent. And so another thing is, like, you'll tell your kids, get off your iPad and study. You need to be more disciplined and do your schoolwork. Meanwhile, they know that you want to get leaner because that pain of having that weight around your waist, that pain of not being happy with your body, you're passing that pain on to your kids. And so you're telling them to be disciplined. And at the same time, you're doing the opposite with your food. So you're leading from the back, not leading from the front. And like, when I really get through to parents or people,
yeah,
and they could connect a higher purpose to their goals, it actually becomes very easy and very clear. And the reason why it's so hard for people is they haven't done that.
That's so powerful. Yeah. Make sure you go to Instagram. You can see Steve Hockman.driven. That's a big, I love your site, man. I love the,
thank you.
You got recipes on there. You got mindset, you got business relationships and the success story. What does it mean? Because a lot of times it manifests like you want to impact most people. What does it mean to be able to give somebody their life back and have them be able to see with the potential that you saw when they came to you?
Yeah, man, I'm not going to lie. So it's a dichotomy. It's a strange dichotomy because on one hand, it feels so good. It's like a drug that I'm addicted to. I'm addicted to transforming people and getting that real transformation. It's one of the greatest feelings where time just stands still. And I'm so sure this is why I'm here. Yeah. But on the other hand, the dichotomy is I don't validate myself with that either. Yeah. So that's a big, a lot of people validate themselves by external circumstances. For me, I validate myself by my daily habits, by who I am. You know, did I do all the things I'm supposed to do to accomplish my mission and my purpose? If I did all those things to the best of my ability, I really am happy with whatever the outcome it is. Whatever is happening is what's supposed to happen. And I really just roll with it. So it's weird because on one hand, I really want that transformation. But on the other hand, I got to be cognizant not to validate myself with that, because then once you start validating yourself by external circumstances, you're really a prisoner to the external circumstances. You can't control that.
That's huge.
You can only control your own daily habits.
That's huge. That's huge. I love that advice. Steve, it is such an honor to have you on. And I always end with three questions. Are you ready for those questions?
It's funny, man. I whenever someone says that, I'm like, man, I hope so. No.
Hey, I've never heard anybody say no.
I'll always give it my all. I love challenges, and I will always be honest. So in that sense, yeah, bring it.
Well, here's the first one. This is going to be funny because we've been talking about it, but if you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
Yeah, my one piece honestly would be my purpose. I would ask my 18-year-old self, I would say, what is your purpose for why you're here on this earth? Because once you define that, all your actions are measured by your purpose. That's you know, so I didn't have that anchor. So as I was falling off here or there, I didn't have that GPS system to know that. And so the first thing I would do is I would give my younger self that purpose to lead the rest of my life by.
Perfect. All right. So everybody has challenges and struggles along their way. If you could give somebody two habits to incorporate into their daily life to continue to push forward, to continue to move towards their potential, what would those two habits be?
Yeah, that's a great question. So habit number one would be to choose proud over happy. So everybody wants to be happy, right? Yeah. Everyone, that's like their goal, to be eternally happy. The problem is you can't be eternally happy because happy requires contrast. Pleasure requires pain. Hot requires cold. But you could actually be perpetually proud. And proud is a higher frequency than happy anyway. So meaning if my alarm goes off and I don't want to get up, it'll make me happy to sleep in. Now there's contrast. The contrast is I'm going to feel like shit later. I'm going to have to pay the debt of feeling really lazy and not accomplished. But yes. If I don't hit the snooze and I get up and I choose proud, which is a higher frequency, I'm paying the debt by the pain is built within, because I'm going through the pain of getting up. I'm going through the pain of working out. I'm going through the pain of doing what I'm doing. So I could actually be perpetually proud my entire life. So choose proud over happy.
Yeah.
And then the other habit would be to eliminate regret. And so the thing is that, you know, a lot of people, they'll do things in the moment that make them feel good, but then afterwards they regret it. And if you're just real cognizant of what you regret, it sounds so simple, but if you just eliminate what you regret, your life will be forever different. And, you know, like journaling, a lot of people journal about good things. When I journal, at the end of the day, I journal about everything I regret. And then after about a week, I could see if there's a pattern that I'm repeating things I regret. And then it becomes very clear what I have to eliminate out of my life. And a lot of success isn't adding things, it's eliminating things.
Right.
So that really helps you to eliminate the things that are holding you back.
Jeez, that was like the best self-help book I've ever read. You're like, Rob, this is what I need you to do. I love it, man. I love it. All right. This last one's always fun. If you could have coffee at a firehouse table. So in other words, any question, you can ask any question, and it'll be answered with three people, deceased or alive. Who would those three people be?
That's a great question. So I would love to talk to Elon. I would love to talk to Elon, because I would love to understand how his mind works, how he's able to do so much in so many different areas. And just how he structures his days and his thoughts and his visions. I would love to have that conversation with him. I would love to talk to Jocko Willink about leadership, because I've learned more from him about leadership than anyone in my entire life. Yeah. So Jocko Willink would be the other one. And gosh, if I had to pick one more person, that's a really good one. You know, one person that I would actually like to talk to, this is a weird one, but it would actually be my dad.
I figured that one.
But the reason why, so he passed away a long time ago, and he was a really bad guy. And so, you know, I really would love to talk to him as the person I am now.
Yeah.
Because there's a part of me that really just would love to have understood his thought process and his decisions, because I have the same genetic makeup as my dad, and whatever like dark place would pull him, it pulled me too. But somehow I was able to break that cycle and not go down that dark path. But I would really love to just have a conversation, just so I could understand to the best of my ability what his thought process was.
I love those three. Make sure you go to Instagram. You go to Steve Hockman. It's HOCKMAN.driven. You'll find out a lot of great things. Steve, it's been great to have you on today.
Thanks for having me on, Rob. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. And please share this episode with a friend or family member. To find out more about Fireman Rob, or if you have a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.